Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Our conversations with Sam, sponsored by PointsBet. Hi, Sam. Welcome back.
You look so much better than you did a week ago with the haircut.
Well, at least you're putting it that way, because I got my hair cut for the first time since COVID hit. And so you can imagine, it was really awesome. I was rocking the bush. It was long. It was flowy. It was my emblem. It was my emblem of the suffering that we've gone through. And I was going to wait until we got to phase five. But then I thought, well, I'll just have the wings trimmed back. So I went over to my friend Bertha, and she trimmed those back. And the result was kind of a mullet. So Brenda laughed a lot, and I said, well, I'll go back and just get the back cut off. Aren't you sorry you asked? And so now I have what looks like a fine little old haircut, and it's exactly what I don't want.
The heat is radiating from how hot that haircut is. I'm not kidding. Actually, people in the hallway were talking about how good you look. So congrats to you, and thanks to Bertha, I guess.
Yeah, Bertha, thank you on behalf of people that see me. Okay, so Sam Panionovich, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Talk to me about, first of all, what's going on at Hawthorne. Then I want to get to the Cubs, the Sox. I want to get to the Bears, the craziest bet of the week. These are amazing. And how people are betting on the election. What have you got?
So Hawthorne Racecourse is undergoing a 14-month project, a redevelopment of the track, a construction of a casino, and a hotel.
How much?
$400 million. And that'll be completed in 14 months, Tim Carey said yesterday, the CEO, which is a big deal because, as you know, the racing industry in this state, we thought a couple years ago, might never recover.
Yeah.
So they found the money, and PointsBet actually is the operator there. So Hawthorne hires a sportsbook operator that's PointsBet, so they are now partnered. That's like 35th and Laramie. So the South Side finally has a sportsbook.
So if I go there, I can bet on a basketball game or something like that?
They have 60 TVs. They have like 15 or 20 kiosks. And then they have an actual walk-up window, like in Las Vegas.
Like they do in Vegas.
Where they have tellers. So you can do it on your phone now. You can do it at a kiosk. You put in some cash. Or you can walk up to a window.
I've only been to Vegas once.
That's it?
When I was there, Sam, you and I are not the same person.
You know what's funny? When you said last month, you and I run in different circles. That is very true.
So, well, that's because I don't know anybody who has bet. And you don't know anybody who hasn't.
Very true.
So when I was in Vegas with a brown suit, the wall, it looked so fun. There was this place where it was like a big lounge, lots of bars, lots of booths. There was food, a big bar for booze and snacks and sodas, and then this wall of TVs. And I thought, if I was there for March Madness with my brother or some buddies or my kids or Brenda, whatever, and just, I could, to me, that would be a very fun day to just sit there and watch it and watch my fortunes go up and down.
My dad took me and my buddies there when I was 21 and 22. Now, my birthday's in March, March 22nd. And that usually coincides with the first weekend of the tournament. So, you know, you got 64, 65 teams at that point. Now you have 68. You might have more if college basketball decides to, you know, jack up the teams. But we went there when I was 21, 22, and then I left dad at home for 23. And you're right. It's that Thursday, Friday, Saturday swing.
Best the weekend of the year.
It's the perfect time because in Vegas, granted, I lived there, and that was too long, but I feel like three nights is the perfect amount. And then you just fly back Sunday and go back to your regular life.
If anything is left of it, having squandered it all on Gonzaga or something like that. Actually, Gonzaga is a pretty good bet. They are picked right now, I think, to win the NCAA tournament this
year. They're very good. But you're right. People put a lot of money on a 19-year-old kid to hit a free throw with 5 seconds to go, and then you just start cursing at him when he misses it.
But that scene is what they're also going to have at Hawthorne.
Yes, they will have that. Now, it won't be like Vegas because nothing is like Vegas. I mean, Vegas is always going to be fine because of, I think, the, you know, the sense of event, right? Everybody sort of comes together, and then, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I've always believed that. So I think Vegas will always hold that aura.
Yeah.
But, yes, you will be able to watch anything you want. I mean, they're open. I think they open at 9 in the morning. down there, and obviously they're open until the last ball goes in the air.
This $400 million project is a year and a half or so out.
Yeah, 14 months.
Wow.
But big deal for the South Side, and a lot of people very happy to be able to drive 10 minutes and make a sports bet.
Has the odds changed for the White Sox to either win this series or win the World Series?
You know what's wild? I just looked before we came on here, and I was looking at the odd board. We still don't have a line on game number 3. And that's because neither team has officially announced which pitcher will start.
Oh.
So it's hard for a bookmaker to throw a line up. Like, we have a line on Cubs and Marlins, which we'll get to in a second, but they're tied 1-1. It's game 3 this afternoon. It'll be on the station, 2:00, 2:10, first pitch. There are no prices available because nobody has announced who's going to start. Now, I think it's Dane Dunning, the rookie,
yeah.
The kid with the glasses who throws pretty well. We don't know officially. You knew it was Giolito in 1, Keuchel in 2. No. Nobody knows who's starting today.
Not Cease, huh?
He pitched yesterday.
Oh.
He came out of the bullpen.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I would imagine it's Dane Dunning. But we don't officially know, so I can't give you any prices. And this is the problem when you're in Vegas. All you want to do, or Vegas or anywhere, Hawthorne or anywhere, you want to just take bets. But you can't take bets when you don't know who's going to start. And the game is in 3 hours.
They can't run Giolito out there, can you?
I don't think so. Although it is actually 2 days after you start, it is your bullpen day. But I don't think they want to throw him 100 pitches. He can maybe go like 25, 30, maybe late. I don't know, though. That's kind of a bad idea.
Still 60-1 to win the World Series?
No, that's my ticket. You want to buy it?
We've already had that conversation.
Okay, all right. No, right now they're 15-1 to win the World Series.
15-1?
Yeah, 15. Well, they entered the series 15. After they won game 1, they went to 8-1.
Oh.
And now they're back to 15 because it's do or die. Literally, your season comes down to one game today.
White Sox are the kind of team, though, that you don't give up on in the eighth inning. They almost beat the Cubs in their last game, or second to last game, down 10-1. And they almost came back yesterday. Who knows, huh? Okay, so talk to me about the Cubs. Where are they?
On the ropes, man. Down 0-1.
Who has a better chance of winning today, the Cubs or the White Sox?
Definitely the Cubs with Yu Darvish on the hill.
Keep going.
Big favorite, minus 190, so you have to risk 190 to win 100. That's like a 70% probability. And it's at Wrigley against the underdog Marlins. But even though the Cubs are favored to win today, to win the whole series, the best of 3, they are the underdog at plus 160. So my advice to you would be, if you're trying to make money on this, why would you lay 190 to win 100 when you can just take that 100 and put it on the Cubs to win the series? Doesn't that make more sense?
If I'm going to risk 100, I have a better payoff there.
Right.
But
I mean, if they win today,
asking them a lot to do a lot more.
Yeah, but they line up better. Like, the Marlins ace pitched really well yesterday. You're not going to see him again. And the Cubs have a better rotation, 1-2-3, and a better lineup. If they win, here's the deal. If you pick them right now to win the series at plus 160 and they win today, that price is going to go way the other way tomorrow. So then they'll be minus 180 to win the series.
Okay, let's take a break, come back, talk to me about the Bears, talk to me about the craziest bet of the week. But also, just real quick, not a number, your gut check on the White Sox is?
I think they win today.
And overall, they're okay?
I don't know that they're okay. Are any of us okay?
And the Cubs, your gut check today is?
They win today.
Yeah, you feel very good about that.
I do.
It's 10:42. Sam Panionovich is in our studio. This is WGN. At Sam Panionovich, I'm John Williams. So he says the Cubs are almost certainly going to win today. You like their chances. You like the White Sox today, but not as much as you like the Cubs.
I would like to know who's pitching for the White Sox. We still don't know that,
something King. To do with that. And the undefeated Bears going into the fourth week are still in first place.
And I still think there aren't many bookmakers in the country that respect them. Now, here's why. Every team has a number to win the Super Bowl, right? And there are 3 teams in the NFC that are undefeated: the Packers, the Seahawks, and the Bears. One of these things is not like the other. To win the Super Bowl, Seattle is 10-1. To win the Super Bowl, Green Bay is 15-1. To win the Super Bowl, Chicago is either 40 or 50-1.
Yeah.
So bookmakers are essentially saying, hey, come on in. You want to bet on Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky? Come on. We'll take your money and we'll still give you 40 or 50-1. I've been saying this, though. Even though people knock them for beating bad teams and maybe not being as good as, you know, people believe them to be, they're still undefeated, and they're still in first place. If I would have told you the Bears were going to be 3-0 this year, what would you have said?
Hooray.
Probably not. Well, yeah, you're not really that excited still. So you're the guy that doesn't believe in the team still.
Oh, I do not. Yeah. I think, you know, our news click earlier this week was, are they lucky, good, good and lucky, bad and lucky, or just plain bad? And I voted for bad and lucky.
That's not a bad pick.
But, and it said good and lucky because they are 3-0. I mean, you had to do something to get there.
Well, people drink the orange Kool-Aid, though.
Well, he also said, I'll just quote Dave Bennett to you, it was something along the lines of they won, what was it, 8 games last year, and they're an 8-plus win team this year, 8, 9, 10, something like that. So the idea that they would win 3 games against bad teams is not cuckoo bananas. What do you think of their chances this weekend?
I actually like them getting points at home. I think Indianapolis...
That doesn't mean they necessarily win.
Correct. They're a 2.5-point underdog, but, I mean, not many games are going to land 1 or 2. So, I mean, if you take 2.5, you have to believe that they're probably going to have a chance to win the game, which I do because Indianapolis has Phillip Rivers, who's been a very good quarterback for a long time. He's top 10 all-time in a lot of categories, but he's an older quarterback that can't move, and he definitely isn't a threat to run. So if the Bears can get a pass rush with Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn and Akeem Hicks, if they can get through the line of scrimmage and get to the quarterback, it could be, you know, a tough day for Indianapolis. Now, that's a good football team. They're well coached. There's a reason, though. Indianapolis is a favorite in Chicago, right? Bears are undefeated, but they're the underdog. There's a reason that all these things are true.
I don't know anything about Nick Foles.
He's more accurate than Mitch Trubisky, and here's why that's important, because I don't think we've had an accurate quarterback in Chicago since Jay Cutler. And what that does, when you have a quarterback that can throw a football at a target relatively close, it gives your receivers a chance, it moves the chains, and it keeps your defense well-rested. How many times did you watch Trubisky throw, you know, if Trubisky's thrown at a dartboard and you're aiming for the bullseye, the first two are above the board, the third dart is on the ground. So it doesn't give your offense a chance, and it doesn't let your defense breathe.
And then every now and then he'd thread a needle, and you'd say, see, he's going to get it. And I don't know if he's ever going to get it.
He's not consistent, and that's the problem. But the thing is, neither is Foles, really. So and now you've just killed the kid's confidence. I mean, imagine being Trubisky right now. I know people don't want to feel bad for him because he makes a lot of money to throw a ball around. But at the end of the day, like, if Foles gets hurt again, and Trubisky has to come in. I mean, Foles has a serious track record of finding his way on the shelf. He gets hurt a lot. I mean,
he's on the bench for a reason.
Well, no, he gets hurt a lot.
I see.
He's been hurt everywhere he's been. So the odds of him completing the season are not good, especially if he starts playing in week 3 and 4.
Well, I appreciate how you want to nurture a talent. And while I don't care about Trubisky's feelings, because you're right, he's a young man, he's an NFL quarterback, and he gets paid a lot of money. Those are nice things to have. And so if it hurts your feelings that you're sitting on the bench, well, boo-hoo for you. But if the idea is, how can we make this quarterback as effective for us as possible, maybe benching him hurts his feelings, but you just can't afford to turn regular season games into practice sessions for him, right? I mean, it's not about the quarterback, it's about the team.
Schedule is going to toughen up, too. I don't know if you've looked that far ahead. So after the Colts, next Thursday, Tom Brady comes rolling into town with the Buccaneers on Thursday night. After that, the Bears go to Carolina. Then they play the Rams. Then they play the Saints. Then they play the undefeated Titans. That's a whole lot tougher than Lions, Giants, and Falcons. Let me tell you that.
Oh, my. Okay, so the
I see what you did.
The Bears are probably going to win Sunday.
I think they have a puncher's chance. Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I think Chicago +2.5 is a good bet, only because I don't believe in Phillip Rivers as a favorite. I think that the wrong team is favored, and I think Nick Foles gives them a jolt. They should win this game. I think they should.
Political odds.
Oh, boy.
What has happened since the debate?
Last time we talked, Joe Biden was -130.
That means what?
57% chance of victory.
And you're telling me that people are actually betting on Biden to win, and that the odds, if you will, are 57% in Biden's favor.
That was before the debate. And again, you can't bet this legally in America. These are Canadian, offshore, you know, Central America.
But Americans can do that, I guess.
Technically, you're not supposed to do it. But these are legal markets in a lot of other countries. We can't bet it here.
Why would a Canadian or a European bet on an American election?
It's one of the most popular things to bet on in the world, the American elections.
Okay, so what have you got?
Joe Biden is now -150. So his chances, according to the markets and according to the money, the debate was better for Joe Biden. He went from minus 130, which is 57%, to minus 150, which is 60%. Not a big move. And other places have him even higher. Here's what I thought was interesting, though. That's just to win the election. So Biden minus 150. You have to lay 150 to win 100. To win the popular vote, Joe Biden is minus 800. That implies 89% chance. So you have to lay 800 to win 100 on Biden just to win the popular vote. That is a staggering number.
And not that Europeans betting on American elections is a civic lesson, but it does tell you how different our system is in that the popular vote does not determine the winner necessarily.
Very true.
We've learned that twice in the last four elections, but what do you know? By the way, I did have a note about the debate. Lawn signs don't vote and dollars don't vote, but Joe Biden's campaign in the last 24 hours raised $21 million, the biggest one-day haul it ever had, started with the debate for 24 hours. They made many hundreds of thousands of dollars during the debate. Literally, the money came pouring in as people were watching that thing. The Trump campaign has had the superior war chest all along, $1.1 billion, $800-plus million, of which has already been spent. Maybe not so wisely. It's why they got rid of their campaign manager. But I think it's interesting to see that the donations coming in for Trump are smaller. Donald Trump has more small donations of $200 or less than Joe Biden does. Joe Biden has a little more of the large donations, and he has much more, actually, of the corporate donations. But again, none of that matters. Votes matter. So vote who you think is best.
I still can't believe, I'm not going to get political here, I can't believe we don't have a frickin' mute button for that debate.
I think they should just play, did you hear my solution to it? Hey, Producer Elif, I know you're booking somebody, but can you do something for us here? Play the second of the chaos election sound bites for us. Let me know when you have a thumbs up on that. This is my idea.
I want to make
Mr.
sure.
Mr. President, can you let him finish?
When it comes to this.
Here's
Bernie
the deal.
Sanders said the
whole idea.
Let just going back and forth like that.
No.
They hit a button.
Oh, this is good.
And they rickroll them. They just start playing the music. And until they behave, Rick Astley sings and everybody dances.
I think McFadden and Whitehead Ain't No Stopping Us Now would be another good pick for your catalog, too.
But. Okay, so the odds move slightly as a result.
But the popular vote, massive shift, minus 800. That's an 89% chance that Biden wins the popular vote. A lot closer for the electoral.
Sam, what was the craziest bet of the week?
So Monday, the Minnesota Twins played the Houston Astros. And you know a little bit about the Minnesota Twins, right?
Sure, I was up there for 8 years.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2004.
You know, their nemesis is the Yankees. Not that they were playing them, but they just can't get over some of those teams.
Somebody bet $500,000 on the Minnesota Twins on Monday.
To win against?
To win a game against the Houston Astros. To win a baseball game in the playoffs. Twins scored the first run. They go up 1-0. They should have scored a lot more. They stranded a lot of guys early in that game. So they're up 1-0 in the seventh. Astros tie it in the seventh, score 3 in the ninth. Astros win 4-1. And that bet for $500,000 is a loser.
Hey, honey, what's this deduction from our bank account? What? What? So how much would the guy or gal have won?
It was minus 149, so a little bit less. It was a $500,000 risk. So you don't win $500,000. I think you would have won like $410,000 or something to collect $910,000. But he's not collecting, or she's not collecting anything.
Bet you it's a he. So once again, I'll ask the question, if you've got $500,000, why risk it to win $400,000 more? It would seem to me like the object of the game in life is to get $500,000.
On a baseball game.
I know. You went 5 for 5 on your picks of games last week.
You know what? And let me say this. I said this on Chicken Dinner on Monday. I said, if you think that's going to happen every week, you are sorely mistaken.
Chicken Dinner is your podcast, and you do stuff like that there. So what game do you recommend? What's your most confident bet this week?
I was talking to Orion Samuelson, and
let me hear it.
We like the Dolphins plus the 7 because corn futures are down. So anyways, I think the Dolphins are a very good bet because they are getting a full touchdown at home against the Seattle Seahawks, who are undefeated. Everybody watches them. Russell Wilson's a really good player. But now Seattle's got to go all the way to Florida. Long trip. Spread is inflated. I think the Dolphins hang within seven. That's my favorite pick this week in the NFL.
Nice to talk to you, Sam. Thanks for coming in.
You got it.
That's your friend Sam Panionovich. His podcast is called Chicken Dinner. This is WGN.